True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Cody and Gold, 96.5 The Fan, Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, JT Noah producing the show. All right, so switch some things around a little bit. We're going to get to some college football here. This is like a college football, little 20-minute segment here based on the plans. We're going to talk some Corso in a second as well as disappointments. And I mean, I think we can actually start with a disappointment. I think locally we know for a certain fan base who the biggest disappointment would be, and that would be the Kansas State Wildcats. I know that they won the game, which, hey, survive in advance and you move on. But had they lost to North Dakota after losing to Iowa State, I don't know what would have happened. It would have been insane. JT, you are a Mizzou fan, so you probably wouldn't. You probably, not that you were enjoying it. If it was Kansas, you might have been more excited if that sort of thing would have happened.
Still enjoying it a little bit,
but
I'm enjoying it a little bit. Actually, I'm actually a big fan of Avery Johnson, even though his family likes to fight over each other. But I really wanted to see Avery Johnson do well, and so
he did.
Well, yeah, he has, but so far his team has not helped him.
They haven't.
It's worrisome because if you're a K-State fan, some people are speculating: are they the next Florida State team? Now, obviously, wouldn't be as a dramatic flip from what Florida State did last year, They're starting off real slow, and it's kind of getting a little scary hours in Manhattan, I would say.
Yeah, I'd be a little bit worried. I think right now it's hard to judge anybody this early in a season. We'll get to KU and Mizzou in a second. But I would be a little bit concerned just based on the way that they've played. Like, Avery Johnson has been solid. He hasn't turned the ball over yet. He's been fine. They're not running the ball as – it doesn't feel like they're running the ball as effectively as they – have in the last couple of years. And I think the way that it looks is the offense is a little bit different. Defensively, obviously, you're dealing with some struggles, which I think is a big question mark going forward. You're going to get Dylan Edwards back hopefully here soon. That should help out your offense. But
yeah, I didn't think it was going to be a problem this week, right? No Dylan Edwards.
If you look ahead to the schedule here, it still plays out very favorably for the next couple of weeks. You got Army at home. Mm-hmm. You have Arizona on the road. And then you've got UCF before going on the road to Baylor.
They need to kick Army's ass.
They need to come out and have a really good stretch here. I think a more convincing stretch than what they've given so far. Just in terms of for the premise of they're one of the teams that was favored to win the Big 12. The expectation is for them, I would say, to be in the Big 12 title game. To make the playoff, I think that's too high of an expectation. It's not too high of an expectation, but it's being unfair, I think. When only one or two teams from the Big 12 won, as it has been, gets into the playoffs. So they need their expectation is to get to the Big 12 title game. Right now, they're climbing uphill because they lost to Iowa State, a team they're directly competing with, to get to one of those spots. The way that Utah looked this weekend, really good. Baylor dropped the game to Auburn, but those are some games to watch down the stretch here. Baylor also plays SMU, so a team that they're competing with directly is also in the mix. KU, we'll get to them in a second. They play them, of course, in the Sunflower Showdown the last weekend in October. That is a team to watch, as well as Arizona State. So they're just climbing uphill, but the game against North Dakota would, if they lost that game, they're not winning the Big 12. You can already mark it off. It's not happening.
It's over. Season's over.
Them trying to get to a good bowl game is still possible. Of course, they'd have to win out.
Of course.
But them getting to the college football, or them getting to the Big 12 title game, starting 0-2, in the way that they did it, they would be a good season. We would be 8-4 or 9-3 from that standpoint moving forward. So I think it's too early to say they're not a good football team. They're not able to make the Big 12 title game because it's been two games. They're still, but they need to figure it out by the time they get into the stretch, though, where they have Baylor, TCU, KU, Texas Tech. It's a four game. That's the biggest four game stretch of their schedule. It's the toughest four game stretch on their schedule is when they face those four teams in a row. So
it's massive.
I would be a little bit worried, though, if I was a K-State fan, and understandably so.
What would your, okay, give me 1 to 10. How worried are you? You're not panic button, but you're like, you have opened the drawer that has the panic button inside of it, right? You know where it's at. You've located it. You've rummaged around. You've moved your things. The pencils, the erasers have moved to the sides. The panic button, full press. But you're not, your hand's hovering, but you're not pressing it yet, right? You're 7 or 8 out of 10.
So here's my thing about
I'm not that high.
You're not that high yet.
I don't
yet.
Think I'm okay. that high, because I also want to take an effect of, okay, you played in Dublin, then came home to play a game.
It's great.
So there could be an effect of that side travel there. I will say this.
And Iowa State's a good team,
yeah,
to your point.
Correct.
They've shown that now 2 weeks, and they're like, that's a good football team.
Yep. They play Army this week, coming up. Army lost to Tarleton State.
Exactly.
Their second ever FBS win in program history.
Wow, I didn't know that part of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Tarleton
State. You got to beat their ass.
This is when you go out and thank you for your service, soldiers, but Army, you're going down.
Lay down the hammer. You have to. Yeah.
I would say my panic is like a 4 out of 10 right now.
Okay.
If they lose any of the three between Army, Arizona, or UCF, I would be probably at a 7 or an 8. Okay. I would jump straight there.
Yeah, I would say I'm at probably a 6.
Just because if they want to make the Big 12 title game, they have to win these next three games. They have to win the next three games.
Can I say some of my why I'm a 6? I'm just a little bit higher than you guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
K-State, one of their identities as a football team, as a program, and, you know, things like this have changed in the last 20 years because football has changed so much. College football specifically has just changed drastically, especially in the last decade. Hell, at this point, it feels like every year it just changes now. But K-State still has an identity as a program that they are a physical, physical football team. On offense, they're getting to that second level, and they're pushing you around.
The running backs have been very good.
The running backs have been very good. And on defense, they're 11 hats to a ball, right? They're not assuming anyone's going to make a tackle if there's a one-on-one guy near a sideline. Yep. You've got three other hats running to make that hit as well because they want a piece of it. They are running. They are active. That doesn't feel to be the case right now with the Wildcats. When I watch K-State, I'm not going to tell you I watched all four quarters of that, but I was in and out. I watched a little bit. They're lackadaisical. They are not assertive on either side of the football. They feel like the other team is running the cadence and the rhythm of the game rather than them controlling the pace of a game and the say-so of the matchup. So and that's okay against a team like Iowa State in Dublin, to JT's point, but now, you know, back at home against North Dakota, you've got to control that game, and they obviously didn't. Now, the positive here with K-State that I will say that kind of brings me down from maybe being a 7 or 8 to 5 or 6 is Avery Johnson's good, and I liked Avery Johnson 2 years ago.
He's
showing
off the arm more this year.
Showing off the arm. Yep. We know he can do what he can do with his legs, but I liked him in that first showcase 2 years ago, and what was that bowl game, right, that he came up as a true freshman. I remember watching him play, and I was like, wow, I love the way he can keep his eyes downfield, running out of the pocket, pressure. He's always looking for that next pass. He is a quarterback, truthfully. Like, he's a thrower of the football, and I think he's now starting to progress to a passer of the football, and that's really good to see. I think that would be the positive if you're a K-State fan.
Oh, yeah, I think there's a lot to look at and be happy that Jace Brown is back in the mix. Jerron Tibbs is a good, you know, number two to Jace Brown. Obviously, Joe Jackson, you're going to get Dylan Edwards back. You should be, you know, it's not time to panic, but it is. I think it's fair to have a little bit of concern just for the season and the expectations for the Kansas State Wildcats.
Now, just one quick question before we move on. Let's say it's a 28-20 win against Army. 28-20.
It doesn't matter to me. It's fine.
You're fine? Okay. Yeah. I'm just asking.
To me, because to me, given the fact now that we, if you wanted to make the playoff and you needed to get style points, then yeah. But I don't, the Big 12 is too competitive in my mind to get more than one team in. I just think that they're going to get one team in. In the playoff. I mean, they
might. No, I agree. Like, I mean,
So I don't think how ugly it looks or anything like that. Like, if it's a 21-20 win against Army, hey, you know what? They're one win closer to getting to 11-1. That's how I would feel about it if I was a K-State fan, just from that, I guess, black and white perspective. KU on the other side, are they legit? Or are they just beating up on no ones? I think it's a mix of both. I think Jalen Daniels right now is on a heater. I know that they're playing Fresno State, who has a new coach, new quarterback.
It's Fresno State. Like, let's start. Fresno State
is solid, but the Wagner one is the one that you throw in the garbage, and it doesn't matter. But in fairness, North Dakota was the one that you throw in the garbage
because
they're not ranked in FCS play. This is not North Dakota State. This is not South Dakota State.
That was a different animal. What conference are they in?
Oh,
like the UAC. Like, they're in a nothing. I was looking at it. It's
heavens. I feel really bad now because I lived in North Dakota and I don't know. I don't remember. Anyways.
It's nobody's school. Like, they are not playing anyone. So, no, you're right about that.
But, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, they're facing an opponent. They face an opponent who they should have beat by a lot more than they did, and it didn't happen. But and they won, but it wasn't. It was close. KU's, they're doing what they're supposed to do. So I think it's hard to say they're just beating up on no ones, but also hard to say that they're legit. I think it's difficult to say. We're not going to know until Saturday when they play Missouri. In terms of how good either one of them really is. JT, you have to be honest. This goes for both Missouri and Kansas. They beat Central Arkansas, the Missouri Tigers did. Great. You did your job. Bo Pribula's the starting quarterback. We're going to see how good Kansas is, in my mind, maybe more than Missouri, actually, on Saturday, where if that game is tight and it's close, this could be just two really good football teams going at it, and both of them end up finishing 8-4 or 9-3 on the season, and that's just how it goes, and it's a good old football game. If either team wins by double digits, all of a sudden, okay, I think, you know, we're starting to learn more about this. We're on KU's side of things. They're in a better spot now, and I know Kansas State fans are not going to like this, but this is me being honest, there's no shade against Kansas State. For all those people who think that I hate Kansas State, I wore the K-State shirt last week again.
You did?
Yes, after I was told to burn the shirt by Kansas State fans.
What?
By the way, which is egregious.
Lighten up.
Kansas football right now is in a better spot for the future than Kansas State is. And Jay Binkley agreed with me, by the way. So you can call out Bink at 6 o'clock or at 2 o'clock when he fills in for CDOT today.
Bink and Unicero today.
All right. But what Lance Leipold is doing, last year they were in every single game. They went 5-7. They just didn't win close games. They easily could have gone 8-4 or 9-3. Jalen Daniels turned the ball over a lot last year. This year he has one turnover. He has 9 incompletions through 2 games. And I know that it's Fresno State and it's Wagner. But if he goes out and has another good performance the way that he's been playing against Missouri, I think somebody did text on the text line last week, Heisman bet for Jalen Daniels. I said, don't do it. You're probably not going to win. If he goes out and plays the way that he has in these first 2 games against that Missouri defense, Jalen Daniels, in my mind, would probably be a top 5 candidate for the Heisman through 2 weeks of the season. He has been he has been unbelievably good.
He has. No, I agree.
He has been so good. And I think if KU beats Missouri, they are all of a sudden jumping into the Arizona State, the Utah side of, you need to pay attention to this football team in regards to the Big 12. In regards to the Big 12 title game.
Like, yes. Utah's
legitimately
real. KU might be
you
too.
Need yeah. to watch this team.
That's true.
I think that's how good Kansas can be with what they've done in the portal. Obviously, Cam Pickett looks great. Emmanuel Henderson is a stud. You look just from top to bottom, they spread the ball around more. They also obviously have Daniel Hyshaw. They have LeSean Williams. Jalen Daniels can run himself. Like, they're going to cause defenses a lot of problems this year. And I think KU they're legitimate from the standpoint of, you should be paying attention. I was really close to picking them to go to the Big 12 title game this year. I didn't do it. But they should be on everybody's calendar circled. Okay, this team is a legitimate contender for the Big 12. They're a legitimate team in the Big 12 to go 8-4, 9-3, somewhere in that 7-9 range. And Lance Leipold is building a program with the stadium renovations and stuff that's going to be hanging around.
The money that just came in.
It's gonna, yeah, the money too. They're going to hang around. Now, your Missouri Tigers, JT, do you like the fact that Bo Pribula is the guy?
Well, I mean, he has to be the guy now. Sam Horton being injured.
Of course. But
so, but yeah, I was...
I thought he was always the guy. For him to start the game...
Yeah, exactly.
He was the guy.
He looked
was
great.
The guy. He looked great. I will say there was some times where I was actually concerned about the offensive line. Everyone talks about how Missouri's offensive line is going to be great.
Caden Green, yeah.
Caden Green moving from guard to tackle. Looked a little sketchy at the first half. But I also thought Pribula was doing things that were not helping his tackles. He was moving, drifting too far back into the pocket.
Yeah.
But then there was that one play where he scrambles for a touchdown. He runs back 10 yards and then takes off and runs. And I'm like, all right, you know what?
And he can do that.
He can, right. And he hit some deep balls, which that was the biggest concern you had with Pribula, was like, can he throw the ball deep? He hit a couple. He missed a couple. Against Kansas, I think it's going to be interesting because a couple years ago when K-State came to town, everyone was like, man, Missouri looked kind of blah in that first game, and it felt like they were holding stuff back. Against Central Arkansas, it didn't look like they're holding back, but I think it could have the same effect going into against Kansas. Is, all right, let's see them both open up and throw the ball, and let's have an airway. I would love to see another walk-off, just another needle in the heart of Kansas, a walk-off win. But talking about a walk-off, you don't have your starting kicker now. Craig is out. Blake Craig, who was going to be a finalist for Kicker of the Year, people thought, injured himself and is out several weeks. Yeesh. So now you're...
That's huge, man.
Now you're working on a true freshman from California. So it'll be interesting.
I'm very excited, though, for Bo Pribula, because if he's legit, then I think Missouri can absolutely make the playoff.
Oh, yeah, wow. Because you have Hardy. You have Hardy, the running back.
They got Ahmad Hardy, and they have one of the... They have a top-half defense in the conference. If Bo Pribula is legit and he's the guy, then Missouri, with that defense, and the schedule plays out so favorably for them. The opponents are the same as last year.
Except they're flipped from home to away. Yeah, so you get A&M at home now.
You get Bama at home. You get South Carolina at home. You get A&M at home. The schedule plans out so nicely for the Missouri Tigers this year.
I think the hardest game is maybe the very Oklahoma last week against Oklahoma. Right?
Oklahoma and Arkansas back-to-back on the road. We'll see what Arkansas does this season. Yeah, even after Kansas, it's the Raging Cajuns at home.
They avoid Tennessee. UMass at home. They avoid Georgia. They avoid Texas. They avoid Florida. LSU. They avoid LSU.
Mm. Yeah, at Vandy.
Hey, Diego Pavia.
Spicy game.
Pavia.
That's a spicy game. Yeah, I'm going to hold my horses on the playoffs, but Pribula is the whole take, right? If he's real, you're right. I guess any team can do it, and they do have surrounding pieces. They have a running back. They have a solid defense. And honestly, man, this schedule does work out way better than I expected.
This week, the way that Alabama
looked.
They also
have the wide receiver from Mississippi State, Coleman, that came over. I'll ask you this, Mac. If they beat South Carolina, go undefeated, and they play South Carolina defeated, them.
I'm in.
Then you're in?
I'm in city.
Because I think you're in on South Carolina right now.
On South Carolina.
So, yeah, South Carolina comes to
Columbia. You're reading the tea leaves.
Missouri, then, and the Missouri Tigers come out with that win. Because they should... I don't know.
That's at home. Again, that's at home. They should do that.
They should have beat South Carolina last year. I still am so mad at that game. Luther Burden.
Are you? I can't tell. Okay.
Luther Burden had one of the most sensational catches on the sideline for what would have been a game-winning catch. And then the defense is like, you know what? Let's turn into the 2020 Chiefs defense and let them score.
There's some other. So we're going to get into Lee Corso a little bit later. His final pick, and also one team that impressed and disappointed, but. The college football playoff predictions. Do you guys want to go through some predictions?
Ooh, yeah, some odds. Do you have odds, or do you just have? I don't have your
odds.
Predictions.
I have my predictions for the playoff. The preview, unfortunately, the whole thing.
Is Missouri in it?
The whole preview. No, the whole preview is not coming out this year. I'm pushing it back, but I do have a playoff prediction.
Okay,
let's go. 12 teams.
Let's go, and I'm going to pull out some odds for you. But yes.
The one seed is going to be Penn State this year. The two seed. This is where it gets tough.
No.
Through 1 week, this pick doesn't look good.
Oh, okay.
Alabama, I think, is going to win the SEC.
Jeez, it looks tough. That looks rough now.
Clemson is going to be the 3 seed, I think, to win the ACC. Texas is the 4, because, again, we're going to straight seeding this year. So it's obviously a little bit different.
Yep.
Texas will be the 4 in my mind. I picked Oregon to be the 5, Ohio State to be the 6, Notre Dame the 7. Arizona State's going to win the Big 12. They're the 8. Florida, the Gators are a 9. Michigan's going to make the playoff at 10. LSU at 11, and Memphis is the group of five team.
Well, my biggest standout right now 12. Is Georgia. Georgia is going to be, what, fifth in the SEC, you think?
I don't think Georgia's making the playoff.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
But you have like four SEC teams in.
Yes.
So you, wow. Yeah, you had.
I don't buy the Gunnar Stockton stuff.
Well, who were the four that you had in?
The four SEC teams?
Yes.
I know Florida was one. Alabama.
Bama, Texas, Florida, LSU. And yeah, that was
that's it.
Yep.
So you don't think South Carolina gets in either? Wow.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I think the SEC is going to be a lot like the Big 12 this year.
Where they beat up on each other?
They beat up on each other a lot.
Still four get in. That's crazy.
Is Miami's not in there?
No, I will say this, though. After I think Miami is maybe the team that impressed the most. Them or Utah.
Not LSU?
Utah would be up there for me.
You didn't think LSU, LSU didn't do much to impress
them,
you?
Them winning in Clemson's version of Death Valley was impressive.
It was a good win.
But I do think, and I know that Clemson is my, I think Clemson wins the whole thing. I still think,
well, yeah, you're a big Nussmeier guy like Binkley is.
I think Clemson wins.
You think Clemson wins the whole thing?
I'm a Dabo and Klubnik guy. I think Klubnik wins the Heisman.
Dabo guy. Not a Dabo guy.
I also think if Penn State doesn't win it this year, they're never going to win it with James Franklin. They have the best roster in college football.
You think they have the best roster all around?
Penn State has the best roster in college football.
Okay.
So I'll say this. The reason I think LSU might have had the most impressive
LSU also might have win, the LSU's roster is loaded.
The reason
as well.
I think LSU might have the most impressive win and people are buying so much stock is because of the way they won the game. Their defense actually showed up to play the game.
Which hasn't in the last three years.
And it hurts me the most because the DC is Blake Baker, who was at Mizzou. They gave him an extension, and then 2 months later, he leaves for LSU. And it pains me because I loved Blake Baker. I love
Missouri's
Blake.
Defense is good, though. So
well, yeah, it doesn't hurt me like that. Yeah, but Blake Baker, I think Blake Baker in the next year or two is going to be a head coach somewhere for a college team because of the way he plays and coaches. And he got that team ready. They were talking, oh, yeah, our defense is going to be so good this year. I had an LSU fan, Seth Wansing, who thinks that LSU's got a top 10 defense already. I'm like, all right, let's hold the brakes on that part. But yes, their defense looks legit. And that they
shout out to Mac's alma mater, too, by the way. The Tennessee Vols getting a good win with Joey Aguilar as the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, meanwhile, Nico
I was about to say, you're Niamaliava
got smoked. Trash.
Got smoked.
By
Utah. That was a 5.5 point spread. The game was 33 points in difference. Well, 43-10.
And Nico's
going back
terrible.
To spread, did you see that Mizzou's already 8.5 point favorites for this weekend?
Speaking of.
Bet KU at +8.5.
Speaking of.
Bet that. It's going to be a close game.
Carrington Harrison's documentary about the MUKU rivalry coming out this month. September 24th is the premieres at Screenland Armor. The first trailer dropped a couple of weeks ago, so you can find that over there on his Twitter. The Armageddon at Arrowhead.
Hey.
Pretty cool. So that'll be awesome.
Coming up next, that definitely any look. College football, man. There's just something about college football. There's something about let me tell you something, Mac.
Let me tell you something.
There's something about college football, man. It's back. The NFL is also back. We're going to talk more Chiefs in the Chiefs Red Half Hour coming up. I've got a question for you. It's not Armageddon, but what would that look like in Chiefs fans' mind through the first 6 weeks of the season without Rashee Rice? We'll talk about that next as Cody and Go continues right here on 96.5 The Fan.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more.
The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
The Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Coming up here in about 10 minutes or so, I've got a question for you regarding what the Chiefs record would be through 6 weeks that makes you kind of panic. Like, similar to what Mac was asking about Kansas State, what's the panic record for you through the first 6 weeks of the season if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan? That coming up in just a little bit, but we're going to talk about Josh Simmons in a second as well, Mac, but one hot take. I've got one that I'm going to save for when Alex and Cody come back a little bit later on in the week. I'm sure we've got some stuff. Again, this is week one, week officially. We are going to have our predictions here on Cody and Gold, at least. I don't know about you guys, Mac, what you're doing, but we're going to continue with our division predictions starting tomorrow leading up to Thursday in week
something
one.
Something very similar planned, yes.
Week one of the NFL season. But in terms of a Chiefs kind of hot take, I think Xavier Worthy, and this is more of a, I don't think you're able to bet this at all, but I think this is a little fun thing. Xavier Worthy this year is going to have 3 touchdowns of 50 yards or more. I don't know if that's a hot take, but I think a take that I have is I think Xavier Worthy's going to have
a lot.
He's going to have 3 touchdowns of 50 plus yards. Like, it's going to be like the deep ball is going to be there. It's going to work.
Yeah.
And it's going to connect 3 times at least. Xavier Worthy's going to get a 50 yard touchdown.
Oh, I love it. 50 yards is a lot, but yeah, I think that's going to happen. I mean, we've heard both these guys all offseason talk about figuring out one, the deep ball, but also just on the Xavier Worthy side, like his whole thing was like, yeah, I figured out the playbook. I figured out these routes. I know the calls, but now it's about, okay, what does Mahomes want?
That chemistry.
Where does he want me to be? Like, is it on this specific play? If this guy's on off coverage, does he want that 8 yard out to be on to be a 7.5 yard and just a little bit in? And those tiny little minute details. I think Xavier Worthy has spent so much time with Patrick Mahomes this offseason, specifically discussing those sorts of things to get on the same page. And I think it's going to have a massive effect. And if you go to Mahomes' side, he's discussed, hey, biggest thing I'm working on this season, other than athletically getting back to his peak mobility, being able to run around, he's talked about that. But his other big thing that he's really harped on this offseason has been the deep ball. Throwing the deep ball more accurately, giving some more air under it, getting it a little bit higher to have someone get the room, a deep ball artist like Xavier Worthy, have the time and the space to say, okay, I'm going to track that. I'm fast enough, dude. Just I've let me get under
speed,
it.
Baby.
Yeah, just let me get under it. I'll do it. So we've seen that in the offseason. We've seen that in the preseason with Tyquan Thornton a little bit. We'll see it with Xavier. So I don't hate that take at all. I would like to look up the stats on 50-yard touchdowns. It might be hot. 50 yards is a lot.
Three times, maybe.
That seems to me like completely plausible.
Well, and the way that they're talking about it, too. So, like Rasheed Rice was like, hey, man, we're about to put on a show. Like, Xavier Worthy has said during Chiefs preseason, like, watch out. This is going to be a lot of fun to watch us this year. Like, we're really going to get after it. Hearing that, along with, because Patrick Mahomes will give you, you know, the good quarterback answer of, you know, this is what we're working on. We're really trying to bring it back. Whereas Xavier Worthy and Rasheed, you can just tell they're itching to be able to run some of the stuff that they've got schemed up and ready to use, and they want to put on a show for everybody, and I think that's what it gets me to that point. What is your hot take for the or a hot take? I don't think this is the hot take.
No.
The hot take will come later in the week if we have it. But a take that you feel is an important one or a big one for this season.
Well, I think it segues kind of into what we're going to discuss here. And Josh Simmons isn't that. I think Josh Simmons is going to be a top 10 left tackle this season. And before, and I've edited that a little bit, because before it was by the end of the season, and I've made it hotter by saying, no, I think he's walking in after game one. We're going to be talking about him being a top 10 left
You're
tackle
saying the
in
performance
the NFL.
Against the Chargers would be so good that we're like, yep, they just landed one.
I think that, yes, that performance parlayed with all of the hype and what we've seen in the preseason, all of this will now kind of start to solidify people. Okay, well, yeah, I think he's the best left or the best left tackle the Chiefs have had since Eric Fisher and a top 10 left tackle in the National Football League.
I like it.
Is a decently hot take. Now, I think the next topic that we discuss here concerning Josh Simmons is we can talk about his confidence, how confident we are.
You obviously are very high.
It's
like a 10.
Yes. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd probably be a 10, maybe a 9. But I'll go 9 to be conservative. I think probably a 9. Now, I want to talk about how do we measure him? Because he's been the number one Chiefs topic, other than obviously Mahomes and Kelce now getting engaged, those sorts of things. But he's been the number one topic. Mm-hmm. How do we measure him? Right? Because with wide receiver, you talk about Xavier Worthy last year. It's a little easier, right? Like, well, I think he's going to have 850 yards, 5 touchdowns, no less. If he doesn't have 5 touchdowns, we can talk about those things. Now, with Josh Simmons, is it how many sacks he lets up? Is it his pressure percentage? Is it an eye test sort of thing? Is it like what? How are we going to measure it? Because I think that's something that my oldest brother and I have had lots of conversations about. Because I've been this confidence that you hear in Josh Simmons. He's had phone calls now for the last 2 months. Me, dude, Josh Simmons is gonna. He's like, all right, Alex. I want to get there with you, but how are you measuring this? When we get 7-8 weeks in the season, how am I going to be able to tell that you are right or that you are wrong? I think that's a good question.
I think it's a really good question because obviously, you know, like you were saying, we consume offensive line play differently, but we do. It's hard to box score. You can't box score watch offensive linemen, I don't think. I think the eye test has got to be part of it where
I think it is.
Like, let's say, for instance, I know that it was so, like, with Kingsley, it was so evident and so obvious. That it was bad. Even if Patrick Mahomes didn't get, let's say Kingsley didn't allow one sack. It was so egregiously bad. We knew it wasn't good, but Mahomes escaped it and it worked out. Or Joe Tooney helped out enough where it saved Mahomes. I think the eye test is, I would say, the main part of watching. I don't know. I'm not a good evaluator. That's why you go to Mitchell Schwartz or Jeff Schwartz for this.
100%,
that's why you go to those guys.
Yep.
Because they really break down the tape for you, or Brian Baldinger. But being, I think watching them,
Jay Binkley.
Yeah, or Bink, of course. You can always tell though when somebody's really bad easier, I think, than when somebody's really good. Where if the quarterback, if Mahomes isn't getting sacked, that doesn't necessarily mean a guy isn't having a rough go of it, but it also doesn't mean that it's so egregiously bad that he's getting sacked, if that makes any sense. I think you have to watch a little bit of it, where I think all eyes, you're going to be watching the play, but I think that somewhat, if you see Khalil Mack lined up ahead of Josh Simmons, okay, I'm watching this matchup. I might not even look where the ball goes. I'm going to see how he does and handles Khalil Mack. I'm going to see how he handles the Eagles' defensive front.
Yeah,
I'm going to look at how he handles the Giants' defensive front because they've
could be the best in the league.
They've got a great defensive line. So I think we're going to get a gauge just by watching it, how good Josh Simmons actually is. And then I think you can look at Pro Football Focus and see the pressures a lot. Yep. I think the pressures more than the sacks, I think, are the thing
pressures,
for me.
Pressures, yeah, sacks,
but,
eh.
But I'm more of a watch. If I want, you can always tell when they're really bad just by watching them. Like, we knew Kingsley was really bad last season, and you didn't need stats or numbers to even look to validate your opinion. It's like, I'm watching with my own two eyes, and it's not good.
Like, when I watch
Josh Simmons, he's doing a really, I would say he looks really good, and obviously he has been. I think it's better, it's easier to do it with the eye test.
I think when you watch Trent Williams, that's the best in the game, but when you watch Trent Williams, or you could do Lane Johnson on the right side, you know, pick your poison, Rashawn Slater before he's here, you could talk about it. Tristan Wirfs, mm-hmm. you know, name your guy in that top tier, you can tell, like you're saying, the eye test, it's clear.
Yeah.
Just like the juxtaposition, if it's an Andre Dillard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a Wanya Morris or whatever it is, and it's rough. We can tell right off that. I think that's a good start. So I think I'm with you. I think eye test is a part of it. And then I think, yeah, pressure numbers is my biggest deal, because sacks are so deceiving both ways, because sacks are not a quarterback stat, and they're not an offensive line stat. Again, that is case-by-case basis.
It's more like a defensive stat.
It really is. It's
for tracking.
But if it's not that it's not someone's fault, it's just a case by case basis. It sometimes definitely is the quarterback's fault. It mm-hmm. just is. And a lot of the times it is an offensive lineman's fault. And it may not be specifically the left tackle's fault. Like you were saying, like maybe Josh Simmons blocks the hell out of Myles Garrett, but because Juwan Taylor's getting his ass beat on the right side, that's forcing Patrick Mahomes to have to step up a little bit to the left, which is giving Myles Garrett a crease, and Josh, you know, mm-hmm. these things happen, sure. right? So I think pressure numbers for me is a big thing, a PFF score, eye test, those sorts of things. But we have seen, as Chiefs fans these past couple of years, what bad left tackle play looks like, and we are sick and tired of it. I think the eye test will be huge right off the bat, and I'm telling you, man, you're going to see this, dude. He's going to be a brick wall, not only as far as just in front of Patrick Mahomes, but when they choose to run the ball, they choose to hand it off to number 10 Pacheco on a first down and 10, I think it's going to be really cool seeing him get one hand on a guy and then run it up the field. We're going to have a monster, dude, in number 71 this season.
Which is why I think that...
could be Brett Veach's best draft pick of all time.
Which is why I think that if the wide receiver room stays healthy all year, when they get Rasheed back, and the offensive line is good. Let's say Simmons works out to what you're saying. There is no excuse, none, for them to not be a top five offense. There is, if everybody stays healthy,
with Rice back,
stays healthy and the offensive line is like good, there is zero reason they should not be a top five offense. Like, there's no excuse, because they've been 10 ish. They've been in the 9-10 range.
Yeah, the top 10.
And obviously, there's been a lot of questions with wide receivers or the line or whatever the case is. But
I'm with you.
It would be really disappointing, I think, for the offense. It would be a disappointing season if they won the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter. But if they lose in the playoffs and they weren't a top five offense, with everybody fully healthy and offensive line, it would be a what went wrong sort of thing, and it wouldn't be a is it a poor execution standpoint? Like, there would be a lot of questions I think asked about the Chiefs' offense if that was the case, given what you're saying,
and a lot of justifiable frustration, I think, from the fans if that were to happen. At least in my opinion, I think I said that on Fesco and Dusty last week. Like, I'm done with the excuses and all that. Like, if Josh Simmons is
Even if he's
if
fine.
He's half, if he's just an average tackle, which I think at this point, I think's been proven. I think in my opinion, that's
the floor. That's the basement.
That means the basement right now. He's an average left tackle. So let's say that's it, right? Let's just go off that. He's average. And let's say Rashee Rice, let's go with Rashee Rice out too. I'm talking he out the first 6 weeks. You need to have a great to elite offense still. You've got depth. We've spent three months. Just going on about how great this depth is. We love the wide receiver room. Great tight ends. Look at how they've rebuilt this. Travis Kelce, he's lost 20 pounds. So I don't give a rip if Rashee Rice is out for 6 weeks. And you're right. If Josh Simmons isn't, maybe if he's 60% of what I'm saying and not a top 10, not top five right away, whatever it is, but it'll still be good. You need to be able to produce offensively. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to get points. There's none of this. It's 2 years in a row now, these past 2 years. And I'm, again, spoiled Chiefs fan. They've been to the Super Bowl the past 2 years. I know the end result's been great, but again, to continue that, you can't keep winning 10 one score games in a season. No. You've got to win some of these games by two or three scores. Have to.
So I have a question for you, Mac, and for you, JT, as well.
Yep.
Is there a record through 6 weeks? We know Rashee Rice, of course, is out for the first 6 weeks of the season. Is there a record through 6 weeks that would concern Chiefs fans? I think, JT, you mentioned 3-3. Does that, if the Chiefs are 3-3 through six games, what's your concern level? Like, or does it have to be 2-4 for you to be concerned? Like what is your level of concern if through the first 6 weeks of the season, the Kansas City Chiefs are blank record?
JT?
Yeah, I would say if it's 3-3.
3-3, you're concerned.
You'd be concerned?
Concerned. What are you?
I guess define concern.
Okay, here. I do want to. I should have prefaced
like
by
worried.
This.
Like I don't know. Like
so. Well, yeah. Any level of concern, or are you just like, ah, it's fine. They play for reference.
Yeah.
The Chargers, Eagles, Giants on the road, Baltimore at home, Jacksonville on the road, and then Detroit at home.
Yep. So I feel like they should have two wins automatically. I'm sorry, Jacksonville and
New York. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So I would say anything. I guess I should preference anything lower than 2-4.
So 2-4 or lower, you're concerned.
I'll say anything less than 3-3. If they're
or no, you're saying anything less than 4-2. If they lost one more,
well, I'm saying they're guaranteed they should win two games at least.
Correct.
So I would almost want to say they should win a third one. So a 3-3, like I said earlier on in the show, would be where I'm concerned. I would be almost like where you know where he was saying you're finding the panic button.
Yeah, would be 2-4.
2-4, yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's fair. I wouldn't panic button 2-4, but it would be very, very concerning if they're anything less than 3-3. 3-3, though, no, dude, I'm straight chilling. Straight chilling on 3-3. This is Patrick LaVon Mahomes and Andy Reid. They're getting Rashee Rice back.
Because
they're going to be fine.
Yeah,
no worries.
I know that they play all of them at home, but I mean, if you were 3-3, I don't think you should be that overly concerned.
No.
Because of the opponents you're playing. You're playing the Eagles. You're playing Baltimore. You're playing Detroit. The Chargers are going to play you tough. Jacksonville, who knows? New York,
that's
who knows?
A question mark. Like, those teams are a little feisty, like, could be spicy.
You should be able to. I think Jacksonville is going to be better this year.
Dude, I think so. I'm in on Trevor
just
Lawrence
because just because of the roster and
actually
the roster
Jacksonville making the playoffs. So,
so do
you
I.
Do.
So,
yes.
So
okay.
Do I.
So you called the guaranteed win.
I did.
So you called it a guaranteed win for the Chiefs, but also Jacksonville yeah. makes the playoffs.
But that's how different
I love it
is.
I love
that's,
it.
That's how different the Chiefs and Jags are, though.
No, I agree. Different levels, completely different.
I do agree that I think Jacksonville sneaks into the playoffs. I actually agree with you, JT, on
so,
that.
So wow, we can get to that later. We should talk about that.
But
so both okay. I have questions. Keep going.
But I think that the level of opponent just seems to, not that it's better than years past, but. You play the Eagles, you play the Ravens, you play Detroit, play the Commanders,
weeks,
you
yeah.
play Buffalo, you play Denver, of
oh,
course.
Overall?
I mean,
yeah.
you know, there's people are expecting Houston to bounce back. It's all about the offensive line there. Like, I think there's, if they went, which is why I think their over-under was 11.5? Is
yep,
that what it was?
Yep, 11.5. They'll win 12.
I understand why people, I understand why people think they're definitely taking a step back because of the one-score game stuff. You tend to not have, like the Vikings 1 year were undefeated in one score
yes,
games or whatever,
yeah.
and
they went
13-4,
yeah,
whatever the case was. Like it happens, but it doesn't happen too often. So, which is again to the point, going back to Simmons, of you want to see them put up points as they should be with a fully fledged
deep ball
offense,
yep, all those sorts of things,
and all that talent. Yeah, we can go ahead and look at some of the. I don't know if you want to look at full record prediction, but in terms of.
Yeah, well, you're
3-3. I wouldn't be concerned if I were a Chiefs fan. I think to your point, Mac, I don't even know if I would be concerned, overly concerned. I would be concerned, but if they started 2-4, what would the reaction be compared to the way that people are talking about the Royals now? Like, I wonder if people would be like, well, they're 2-4. They're certainly not winning the division. Like, I think if they started 2-4, they have one division game in that stretch. They can still win the division and they'd be fine. I think that there's a lot of overreaction that would take place if they were 2-4. There might be a lot of overreaction at 3-3 because if you place right now, the expectations, you have million-dollar expectations for the Kansas City Chiefs. It is Super Bowl or bust. It's million-dollar expectations where if they start 3-3, the output that you're getting is not a million-dollar expectation. I can only imagine what the reaction would be from the fans. Are we talking firing coaches? Are we talking about benching players? Are we like, what is that? What exactly is the reaction going to be where If they start 3-3, is that the panic meter hitting for Chiefs fans because they're so used to seeing
some will, but I think the truthers know the regular season doesn't matter for this team. If when you get on this dynastic level, and I used to get pissed at Patriots fans when they talked about this, right?
But now you're here. You're also.
But I understand. Yeah, I'm on that level, yeah. And this team season starts in December. That's when this season starts, and when you talk about this schedule in the first six games, that's fine. Let's say it's 2-4. People are freaking out. Sky is falling. People are calling in at 96.5, Cody and Gold, and they're saying, Drew, what the hell? What the hell? How are the Bengals better than the Chiefs? They're 4-2. How are they? People are freaking out, right? Here's my hot take. You ready for a Chiefs hot take?
Okay.
No matter what happens the first six games of the season, the rest of the year, 11 games, they will go no worse than 9-2. The rest of the season, so, those 11 games, so they will go no worse than 9-2. So let's say they go 2-4.
11-6 worst they would be.
Yes, that's the floor.
There's no reason to disagree with that because of what we've seen.
And that may not, and but to be I, fair, that may not win the division. That'll be right on the line.
I do really wonder, though, what, and I think it's...
But that, they'll win the division.
Because I think that...
Because they won't go 11-6.
I think they'll win as well, unlike Jason McIntyre or Colin Coward.
yeah, those guys...
Or others. Or
spewing nonsense garbage. No one should care about that. This team is better than they were last year, dude. This team is going to wreck. God, I'm excited, man. I'm excited. Who do the Bengals play week one? The Browns, right?
Yeah, they play Joe Flacco.
I got money. I got maybe my first week
Stop
one.
Stop betting on them. Stop. Don't bet on the Bengals. I don't bet on my team.
I already did.
Okay.
Okay.
What did you bet?
I never bet on the Chiefs.
Week one part. Yeah, that's a little harder. I like parlay stuff with I like props with the Chiefs, but you're right. Money line spread, no. Early spread. Money line Bengals. Let's go. T. Higgins. I think it was 62 or 61 and a half receiving yards was his line, and that felt low to me.
Two and over. I like that because Jamar Chase will get a lot of attention.
Exactly. So I like the over there, and then I parlayed that with two. It was a Colston Loveland over that I felt low on. Then Amon-Ra had a low over under as well that I went over on. So
one thing
that
I
was
love,
a four legger that I that was my first week one dude, bet. Let's go,
dude. I don't know why, but I love betting the Detroit Lions the last 2 years.
I mean, it's a great two
Sam
years.
Sam LaPorta won me a ton of money 2 years ago. Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery won me a ton of money last season.
LaPorta, I think LaPorta will be back this year as far as that's concerned.
He struggled a little bit
last
season.
A little injury stuff, but yeah.
It's Cody and Gold. That was the Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks. A reminder, too, by the way, that our Monday lunch partner is 30 Hop, the lunch partner of Cody and Gold, right here on 96.5. The Fan. Okay, so coming up next, we're going to get into the back half of the show. Of course, we've got What's Trending. Also, talking some more baseball, and then Mac is going to give you some game on fantasy football. I've got a fantasy football draft tonight. I've got another one a little bit later on in the week.
Okay, good.
So I can help you out. I need some game, some fantasy football game
from the
one and only Mac Morey. That comes up next as Cody and Go continues right here on 96.5 The Fan.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team.
It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale, happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.